I had got a paper today from Jack Everly, the workman. I'm not sure if everybody here gets it or not, but there's a section in Volume 7, Issue 6, that I want to read, that I know that there might be somebody on here that don't get his paper, even if it's just one person, or somebody that might hear this at a later time that don't get it. But it says, "As Time Moves On," by Jack Everly. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises unto the harp to our God." Psalm 147, 7. As we see Thanksgiving approaching, we think it is made for the believer particularly. There are 138 references in Scripture containing the root word thanksgiving. Itself occurs 28 times. Ancient and modern men have designated harvest season as a time of special thanksgiving. Ancient Hebrews celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, or in gathering with joy, rejoicing and thanksgiving, much later in time. In 1621, the Pilgrims proclaimed a day of thanksgiving in spite of the fact that approximately only one half of the original 102 suffered harsh winter. Our present observance dates to October 3, 1863, when President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving to be celebrated on Thursday, November 26, as well as every year thereafter on the fourth Thursday of November. While the body of Christ does not celebrate holy days, rituals, or ordinances as such, we will do well to follow the Thanksgiving attitude all year round. For who on this earth has more for which to be thankful than those blood-bought ones who are enlightened by His gracious Word? Thanksgiving has been secularized and commercialized. Let us not make it a Christ-honoring holiday. Let us not let it be usurped as a day celebrating anything but thankfulness to God. If you have a problem feeling grateful and thankful, make a list of your gratefulness. Start with the empty tomb, the rugged stake, the nail prints, and this list of the epistles to His body, of whom you are part. Most of you can go on from there and list some very specific personal things in which you rejoice. The body members command, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Happy Thanksgiving to all. I couldn't help but put that out there as well and have a leeway into my study that's basically Colossians 3. There's a walk that's been taught in practically every lesson that's been given the past several months or so. And I still felt the strong desire through the Spirit to do Colossians 3 tonight. And if it finishes at 9, so be it. If it finishes 10 till, so be it. But I'm going to start with Colossians 3, 5. And just read through it straight away, and having, if Chip's posting it, he's going to be posting it as it is in the King James Version, and I'm going to be reading it as the Companion Bible notes would have it be read according to the Spirit and through his Greek forms and correctly divided. In Colossians 3:5, it says, "Put to death, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection or lustful passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God and the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." The Apostle Paul is bringing up the past of those saints that were in Colossae that he knew that it, the time before they became a new man. Because we're talking about the new man. He keeps referring to the old man that were at one time. And we can even get caught up in it today. We always catch ourselves fighting with the old man. "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, having put off the old man with his practices." Or this old man is the unregenerated nature which he had before your conversion. After the conversion, we're to walk in Christ, to have His love and have His truth with us. In 3:10, "having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the pattern of Christ," that created the new man. The new man is referred to in Ephesians 4:2. "Which after God is created in true righteousness and true holiness." In Colossians 3:11. "Wherefore there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian," and this Scythian is regarded by the ancients as the lowest type of barbarians. And we see them daily. They're still here. "Bond nor free, but Christ." But Christ. His body that filleth all and in all. In Ephesians 1:3, it's "which is body, which is the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all." In 3:12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, which is inward affection." That affection that Christ wants us to live with on a daily basis, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to have kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. This true lowliness of mind, not the mock humility of the false teachers. As it says in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." In 3:13, "forbearing one another," or bearing with one another, forgiving one another, even if a grievance against any, even as Christ for you, so do ye also. In 4:2 of Ephesians. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. In Colossians, it just gets into a deeper meaning. In Colossians 3:14, above all things, this is to put on the top. This is the top of the cake. The Apostle Paul always says, put on the love, which is a bond of perfectness. And he expounds it so greatly in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, love suffers long, is kind, love envies not. Love brags not about itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks not on evil. Love rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. And the last one is, love never fails. I know I've said it before, that before I became a strong believer, before I even started attending a traditional church, I was having these dreams at night. I would wake up and I would have a realization that that's perfect. But I said, well, what in the world did I just dream that's so perfect? I couldn't remember it for nothing. Believe it or not, this happened for 3 nights straight in a row. And I decided to take a pen and paper with me to bed. And when I got up the next morning, the word love was there. It's perfect. It's never failed. You can't go wrong with love. In 3:15, and let the peace of God judge or direct your hearts, to the which ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful or well favored. That judge is, you see there it says God rule in your heart. That's brebiuo. Is strictly be judge or umpire in public games. Hence, preside, direct, or control. And be ye thankful. This word thankful is the Greek form eucharistos. It's only used here. It's not used in the other thankfuls. It's only used here. And it's grateful and thankful or well favored. It says, and be ye well favored. The Apostle Paul is telling you that you're favored above the rest. As the other examples are like in Romans, where it's used 38 times. And that aristo, eucharistio, and it's to express gratitude, to say grace at a meal. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen, Jason. Over and over. In 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or work, that means whatever you do, your physical activity, whatever you do in word or in work, or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents according to all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, in order that they not have their spirit broken. Let's obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of your heart, fearing God, respecting God, giving God the reverence that He needs. Revere Him that He requires. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Everything we do, if it's cutting grass, I'm doing it to the Lord. Enjoy it. Make it fun. Do it to the Lord. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of recompense of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong that he done wronged, which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons with God. If ye then, and we're going back to 3:1, and I changed it this way to allow the finality of it to be the best of it. If ye then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. As in Colossians 2:20, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Contrast with Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Whatever we make an idol of, whether it be a cross to us, if we be believers, or a curse to us if unbelievers. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life has been laid up store with Christ in God. As the glory of Christ now is hid from the world, so also the glory of believers' inner life, proceeding from communion with Him, is still hidden with Christ in God. And 3:4, when Christ, our life, shall be manifest, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Our utmost hope and most blessed gift given to mankind is given to the body of Christ. Those of us that see His word that was given to mankind the way that God intended for it to be seen, have the most blessed hope there has ever been to mankind. By knowing Scripture rightly divided. When this verse is given in the Greek English interlinear, it says, when the Christ may be manifested our life, then also ye with Him shall be manifested in glory. This is the original Greek forms, the way they're laid out. Shall be manifested. That's panereothesisti. We shall be manifested with him in glory at his appearing. And it was short and it was sweet, but I just felt that it's what the Spirit wanted me to deliver. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. As always, thank you, and we can't thank you enough for that shed blood. We can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for that before the foundation of the world that you set us aside. We can't thank you enough for that blessed hope in the appearing, for that adoption that you gave us with your Son. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, for it's in Christ's precious, precious holy name I pray. Amen.